o'clock, we call the order of regular meeting, April 23rd, the scoreboard. Roll call, please, manager.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Thompson, not here yet. Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
Commissioner Coach.
Here.
Commissioner Salvucci.
Here.
Commissioner Mastalato.
Here.
Please stand for the flag salute. Commissioner Pittman, will you lead us?
I certainly will. Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Pittman. Okay, acknowledgement of visitors. There is none. Item 5, board meeting minutes of the March 26, 2024 regular meeting.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we included those in the packet for your review. If there's any questions, I can answer those now.
I make a motion that we approve the board meeting minutes of March 26, 2024.
I'll second that.
I got a motion made by Commissioner Coach and seconded by Commissioner Salvucci to approve the board minutes of March 26, 2024. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Employee safety meeting minutes, April 11th.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we included those in the packet for your review.
Make a motion to approve the safety meeting minutes of April 11th.
I second that.
Motion made by myself.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
April 11th or April
18th? 18th. We got it. Well, the draft said 18.
I just want to make sure we get that right.
The 11th, I believe. Yeah, it was the 11th.
To April 18th safety minutes. Safety meeting minutes. I'll make that motion to approve.
And I'll make that motion to second.
Motion made by myself, President Taggart, seconded by Commissioner Mastalato to approve the safety meeting minutes of April 18, 2024. All in favor?
Aye.
Authorization of warrants.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, myself and Manager Stewart went through the warrants in great detail and got everything in order. With a total of, where's my total at?
That's the total here.
Total of $293,023.92.
Including. Electronic transfer.
Oh, electronic transfer, excuse me. That it?
I have one question.
There is a typo on this where it says 193 there on the warrants paid. That's my fault. So it's 293,023.92.
That's what he said.
Yeah, you know, he said it right on the total, but if you look at, I just wanted to clarify, because if you look on this line item, it's got it at 193. He was 100% correct. I just wanted to make sure that I acknowledged that we screwed up there.
So I had a question about voided checks.
Yes, ma'am.
What happens to those when they're voided?
They get shredded.
Okay.
Yep. And we're all clear of the issue with the bank fraud issue?
Yes. As far as I know, they haven't made any arrests or done anything like that. But yeah, we've changed bank accounts, and so we're insulated from that other account. We shouldn't have any more issues with us, and they reimbursed us all our money that we lost during that.
So I'll second that. I'll second the
approval of warrants.
Approval of warrants. So. Motion was made to approve the warrants by Commissioner Pittman and seconded by myself, President Taggart, in the amount of $293,923.92. This is all in favor.
Roll call, because it's money.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Pittman.
Yes.
Commissioner Taggart.
Yes.
Commissioner Mastalato.
Yes.
Okay, item 8, fiscal reports.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I included those in the, we included those in the packet, and if you have any questions, I'll answer those now.
I Item nine, adoption of fiscal year 2024-25 annual budget.
Yes, Mr. Chair, so we sent that home with you last month for your guys' review. Commissioner Coach brought something to my attention that I forgot to bring up last time. I'm sorry about that. I will talk about it now. We have, and you know, you guys haven't approved a new position or anything like that, or said that Lori could be put in a new position or anything like that, but Lori is coming up here for retirement in the next couple years. I will be coming to you within the next six months to try to start looking for a replacement for her. Part of my plan to do that was to elevate Lori into an office manager position for the rest of the time she's here, which would be not long. That way we could hire a second another person as an administrative assistant, or even maybe an administrative trainee, which Commissioner Coach recommended that might be the better way to go. And so we added in the position of office manager onto the, even though no one currently is in that position, into the Exhibit G on the wages, so you guys could see what that would look like. I did use that as a worst case scenario on my total for, you know, salaries for the year. So the budget number that you see for salaries does include as the office manager rather than the administrative assistant, which just means that there would be more room in the budget and the salaries department if you guys don't approve an office manager position, which is totally your right to do. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention, that is why that line item is in Exhibit G, is that's kind of our plan moving forward. And I was going to bring that plan to you guys at a later time when it's time to act on it. But Commissioner Coates brought up the point that I needed to explain that to you guys, and I agreed. I should have done that last month. I'm sorry about that. So other than that, on the budget, if there's any other questions, or you know, we can take that out, bring it back next month. You know, if you guys got any other questions, I'll answer them now. Any adjustments that need to be made, we can do that and bring it back next month. Or if you guys are good with the budget as it is, then we can approve it at this meeting.
Actually, we didn't have any questions.
I got a question on that you just brought up.
Yes, sir.
So what year would she be ranked at?
The first one. She, step one. Unless you guys chose to bring her up at a higher thing than that. I'm sorry, not step one. This closest step to hers that she has currently. So she's right. Step seven. Okay. Yeah, right. So she would just move up to the next step without losing money.
Yeah, because I'm going.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I didn't misunderstand. I didn't explain
myself. So the step that's closest to her current salary.
Exactly. Exactly.
Got it.
And then in a trainee or administrative assistant that would come in, because right now we're looking at August of 25 for retirement for Lori. And before I would, you know, obviously I'll bring this up to you guys when it happens, I would ask her, before we would make a hire, I would ask her to sign a contract saying she's going to retire on August 25th, or 25. That way we don't have two people hired into a position and one decides that they're not leaving and puts me in a bind. And I've talked to her about all of that, and you know, and as she gets closer, she still needs to go down the PERS and make sure that everything's good. As she gets closer, then we'll figure that out, and I'll bring that plan to you guys. But I wanted it in the budget in case that's where you guys go. I mean, if you guys choose not to go that way, it doesn't affect anything. That we won't put her into that position, and we won't, you know, she won't get that money. But I felt like that was a good way to go. And then if you guys chose to keep that position on the books, then it's a carrot for whoever we hire later on, they can move into the office manager position at some point in time rather than just being in the administrative position or assistant position. So that was kind of my thinking on that.
And there are salary steps above our current step that is in the,
yes,
the management. Okay.
Yeah.
There'd be one.
Yeah. It's not a bunch. I'm not looking to try to give her a raise before on her way out.
I'm just saying for PERS purposes, we have the salary raise to handle it.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
What's the projected training for the new person? Is it a year, 2 years, or?
Personally, I would think no less than 6 months. And even that's going to be tough because, you know, one of the things about that position is there's things that just happen once a year. And if so, if the trainee's not here during that happen, then now part of Lori's job during this next time, and I've explained this to her, is I need you to write training manuals. I need everything you do on a daily basis needs to be, and that's part of like, hey, if I'm going to try to get you a little bit, you know, a bump here at the end, then you're going to work for it. It's not going to be just a free thing. So I'm going to want you to write training manuals on everything you do on a daily basis so that anything that you can't physically go over with the new hire, we will have a training manual, and you will have trained me up on that too. I'm also sitting down with her for payroll at this point in time. I'm sitting down with her for different things so she can train me. That way we don't just put something on somebody and just go figure it out. Yeah. So, and then Micah's going to do some cross training in there too. Once I'm comfortable that I'm good to go and I understand it, then we'll move Micah in there to do that. So.
Okay. Anybody have any more questions on that item? All right, how about more questions on the budget itself?
You look like you had one there, Commissioner Coach.
It's not a question, it's just the way we're looking at this. If we go ahead and we approve this budget, which is fine. I have no problems with the budget. But the flow meter and the roof are in the current, in this future budget. If we're gonna act on those tonight, and give direction to move forward prior to the budget, I would like to see them removed from this budget. And
understood. So I pulled the roof is not in here anymore. It shouldn't be.
It is.
Is it still in here?
Yeah.
Great. I will pull that then. I will pull that and Ryan, this would be a question for you. Can we have them approve the budget minus the roof line item? I can just change that. Or do they need to have the complete full budget done and before they can approve it?
You're not required to have it fully done. It's just a matter of their comfort level.
Understood. So I can remove that. The Feather River flow meter, that was going to be a question I had for you guys tonight. They brought in, we'd had this discussion, I think last month or the month before. I wanted to give ABB a chance to kind of fix the issue. They brought one in. They put it in. It didn't work. That was, for me, it was like last straw. Like, you've done this twice. They haven't worked. Last straw. So my recommendation is that we go ahead and do the flow meter now. I had the flow meter in last year's budget as well, so I can remove it from this year's budget. It's already in the current year's budget. It's there. I can remove it from next year's budget. And then we can just move on it.
I mean, that's fine.
Well, the flow meter and the roof are going on this year's budget, not this new budget.
Yeah.
We have nothing there.
Yeah, the roof will be covered out of there's plenty of money for that. So we
that just keeps the numbers better.
Yeah, I agree. So we just need to, whoever is going to make the motion to adopt the budget, I think you just need to state with the roof and the flow meter removed from the budget.
If direction is given to
Yes.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the budget for fiscal year 2024-2025. With the options of removing the roof replacement and the Feather River flow meter.
I'll second that.
Motion made by Commissioner Coates and seconded by Commissioner Salducci to approve the fiscal year budget 2024-25 with the new roof and the Feather River flow meter deleted from this year's NERD, the 2425 budget. Okay, that's a roll call.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Pittman.
Yes.
Commissioner Taggart.
Yes.
Commissioner Mastalotto.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Okay, item 10, contract amendment for Coleman Engineering.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So as this influent pump station project drags on, which I have a new update to give you guys about that. So I kind of went over a little bit with some of the commissioners on an individual basis, but I'll give you guys the whole spiel as a group here. So the intended design of the plant, Micah, you want to pull that up real quick?
Yeah.
The intended design of this pump station was not only to modernize, not only to get new pumps, was also to be able to automatically direct flow, to divert flow to the back of the plant when incoming flow is more than we can treat. So part of that was just to be able to say, I want X going through the plant, say it's 9 million. If we have $12 million coming through, it would cut the other $3 million off and put it to the back without the operators actually having to do anything. SCADA would just do that. They would just punch in what they wanted to flow, and it would automatically do it. Well, that feature is not working. We brought this to the engineer's attention about a year and a half ago, said it wouldn't work. In our opinion, they said it would. I got to take a big chunk of responsibility in this one. I let them convince me it would, even though I, in my heart of hearts, didn't think it would. So that's 100% on me. So here we are. They need to, in my opinion, they need to move the valve to the other side of the T. So we can look up here. So this box here goes out to the pond. So this is the ponds out here. This box, this way here, goes through the plant. So the issue that we're having is the way it was designed is there's an automatic valve in this box right here. Now they set it up so I could go, I want 6 million through the plant, and this valve would close and allow 6 million to go this way, and the other, anything extra would go back that way. Well, the valve's on the wrong side. This weir is too high. It's higher than this weir over here. And so the valve needs to be put here so that the water will only allow the 6 million through here, and the rest of the water, if you're pumping 9, would back up and then be forced to go over the weir here. But the way that with the valve here, the way hydraulics works is water always goes the path of least resistance. We know that. So this one's only 160 feet. It's 2 feet less than this one. So the water, this valve starts to close to do what it thinks it's supposed to do, and the water just keeps going this way. It never goes that way at all. It just keeps coming this way. It's the path of least resistance. So no matter what you do with this valve, it won't push the water through this bypass out to the ponds under any circumstances. Now, we still have the auxiliary pump station. If I got a storm tonight and all of a sudden I needed to push water out to the back, I can still do that. We're not without that feature. I can turn these pumps on. I can push 10 million out to the back all day and all night. That was not the main intention of the pump station, was to just replace our old pumps. The main intention was to be able to have this feature, to be able to do this, take stress off the guys, take stress off the plant, just have an automatic modern day facility. The fix is easy in my mind. Take the valve out of there, put it there. Then they got to find some place to put the flow meter that dictates how much that valve's got to open and close. So that's where the engineering will come in. Scott's got a lot of plant knowledge, so we've kind of already been talking about it a little bit. I got the engineers coming tomorrow. We'll figure out a plan. I'll get it fixed. Jacobs has told me they'll take care of it. They said we'll make it right. So I don't know what their opinion of make it right means. My opinion of make it right means I'm not paying anything. So that's my opinion. That's what I'm going to try to run with. So if that changes, obviously you guys will be the first to know. I'll let you know if they try to hit us with a change order or something like that. But, you know, we have something on the agenda later on for Jacobs, too. And so they have future jobs that they want to do with SCORE. So I think that they're going to try to be pretty friendly with us on this. But it is a snafu. I think there's...
Well, I can't see whether that'd be our fault.
I'm mad at myself because I let them convince me it would work. And I...
You're not the engineer.
I'm not. And we paid a lot of money to have them make it right.
You don't have the stamp.
That's true. I got you, but I, you know, my philosophy is if I got the keys, it's on me. So, now I don't want you guys to fire me over, but I definitely bear some responsibility. I am the manager here, and I should have caught this, and I should have been more, I should have pressed the issue more and made them show me how it will work on paper.
They make it right, no harm, no foul.
Agreed. Agreed. And we're not in a situation where, you know, we got rain coming and it's a bad, you know, so we're already past that point. So, but with that said, there is more work to do on the influent pump station. There, beyond this, we still have all the punch list items. There's a bunch of stuff on the punch list that needs to be finished. So there is some more work for Coleman. They've assured me that we won't go to 40,000 on this, that it'll be under 40, but they wanted to make sure that they were going to be able to cover their selves. So they're asking for 40,000, not to exceed 40,000 for a contract amendment for the construction management and engineering services during construction for the influent pump station project.
What's your feelings on
it? I don't think that there's nearly that much work left to do. I don't think that we should get close to that 40,000, but there is some work to do for sure.
With the new pump station, is it tied into electronics and Wi-Fi, or is it all still analog?
It will be. It will be, but it's not right now. Not turnkey. We are working on, that wasn't in the original scope of things, so that's part of some of the stuff that we're doing with Eric Taylor, who's our new IT guy that we've hired, and it's, I mean, it's like a quarter of the price to have like Jacobs or anything do it. So, yeah. And he's pretty good. So sure. That's part of our plan is to get it so that we can not necessarily have the guys where they can do any adjustments online, but they can at least see information and stuff on. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I don't want guys making adjustments from the house, but
we're in the 21st century now.
Yeah. So we're trying. We're trying
with the plan. So
everybody
at least that portion
needs to lean toward these kind of devices for, if not just monitoring. I know of some large swimming pool issues where they can actually change the chemical composition and everything. And I think your best thing is so that your field personnel can understand what's going on, get a heads up without having to come in and look at meters on the wall.
Exactly. Well, and especially, you know, in our case, now the implant pump station won't have this, but the whole plant does. And we've actually put some cameras in, just like your regular, like, right. You know, cameras so that you can. But because of that situation, I mean, we have the chlorine gas. We have issues here that I don't want guys just flying in the gate, not understanding what they're right. getting into. So we put in a couple cameras so they can look up and they can at least see the alarm board and they know what they're getting into before they walk in. But once we're full SCADA, once everything, then it'll all be, and they'll be able to look and say, oh, it's this pump's running and everything.
Right. My son works for South Philly. When he's on call, he just has an iPad at home.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
This is something big that you don't trust in.
Exactly. Now we will probably, and it's a conversation that we'll have, but we will probably limit that ability to adjust things to like Micah, myself, and Mitch.
Right.
Probably won't have operators being able to adjust things from their house. Maybe certain things, and we'll be able to customize that, like what we want, what can be addressed, you know, from remotely, and what cannot. Right. And so we'll kind of decide, we'll triage that, what's best, and what we can get away with doing from home, and what we absolutely have to have boots on the ground for.
Sure. Bill, do I have a motion on the floor?
Those were agenda 10.
Yep.
I'll motion. Number 10 is agenda size. The improvement of not to exceed $40,000.
I'll second that.
Motion made by Commissioner Pittman, seconded by Commissioner Coach to approve the amendment to Coleman Engineering not to exceed $40,000. Roll call, please.
Yeah, Commissioner Pittman.
Yes.
Commissioner Taggart.
Yes.
Commissioner Mastalotto.
Yes.
Okay, item 11, roofing contract approval.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So we brought this in front of you last month. You guys approved a contract with All Covered Roofing, and through our due diligence to make sure that we weren't going to violate any laws, we found that the subcontractor that they were going to have do the gutters is not licensed to do gutters, so we can't hire them. So we asked for them for to get, well, we can hire the company, but they needed to get another sub. So when they got another sub, their quote, their proposal went up about $14,390. So I think the total, so out of the, it's just, I brought back all three of the same proposals so you guys could, you know, compare apples to apples. The All Covered Roof proposal is not to exceed $154,000. The Butte Roofing proposal, all added together, is not to exceed $176,000. And George's Roofing, all put together, not to exceed $250,000. So our recommendation is still to go with All Covered. We liked their work that they did last time. We just wanted to make sure that SCORE itself couldn't get in trouble for having non-licensed contractors working on the grounds. So my recommendation is still to go with All Covered for the not to exceed of $155,000.
I'll make a motion that we go ahead and approve that contract with All Covered Roofing. And an amount not to exceed, you want 154 or 155?
154, that's with the 10% contingency.
154,000. I do have a before. This is one of the discussions we need to have, though, whether you want that roof done now or you want to wait till July.
Yep, I would want it now. I would want it before we start construction on the upgrade.
Then I would put that in my motion that we move forward on this.
I'll second that.
Motion made by Commissioner Coach, seconded by Commissioner Pittman to approve the roofing appraisal contract for all covered roofing with the job to be done before July this year and not to exceed the amount of $154,000. Roll call.
Commissioner Pittman?
Yes.
Commissioner Taggart?
Yes.
Commissioner Mastalotto?
Yes.
Okay, still definitely the best price.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it was, $14,000 catch. But I'm glad you guys caught it. Keeps us out of trouble. Okay, item 12. Plan for engineering services during phase one of plant upgrade.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So this is a conversation I wanted to have, and I wanted to get some direction from you guys, just to, so that we're all on the same page. This, I brought this up to you guys before, and I think we're all in agreement, but I wanted to make sure. I didn't want to do anything without your guys' approval of it, go forward in a plan without your guys' approval. So my recommendation, my hope is that we would hire the design engineer, which is Jacobs, of phase one to do the engineering services during construction. So the total cost for the total projected cost for the upgrade project is about $14 million. Now there's some additive alternatives on there, septage receiving, grit channel improvements, that if the bid comes in too high, we can take those additive alternatives out to get it down to where we can afford it. So just so we're all on the same page, we got close to $10.4 million from the county, the state, through HCD. We got approximately $2 million from the federal government coming from office of Doug LaMalfa, of Congressman LaMalfa. And SCORE was planning, obviously, that's why we've done rate increases over the past, to use some of its money. So in my mind, it doesn't really matter what SCORE's money goes for. It's going to come out of our pocket regardless, whether it's construction or SDC or CM. So, and we've made sure this was legal to do through our Lori Adams, our consultant on this grant administration. I think that we should choose to use our money to pay for SDC and not put it out for an RFP. Just get the design engineer to do it. This thing that's happening here with the pumps, the inflow pump station, is a perfect example of why I think we should do SDC with Jacobs. This, now Coleman's been good, Jacobs has been good so far, but this could turn into a finger pointing contest really quick. Jacobs could say, nope, they're SDC, it's on them, they should have caught it, it's their design now, they bought the design when they took the contract over. Coleman doesn't have the same opinion, just so we all, they think, nope, that's Jacobs' design, they designed it, we're just doing the SDC. Any new engineering that needs to happen, that's on us, not the design. So you can see where there could be some finger pointing. And I believe Jacobs is going to take care of it. I believe that they're going to treat us well and not try to gouge us for this. But if they were SDC, 100% they would be doing this for no extra cost. They would be like, oh, we screwed up. We're the engineers on site right now. We need to fix it, and it's not going to cost SCORE any money. So I think for efficiency purposes and cost savings, I think it's a better idea to go with engineering services with the design engineer. Now, construction management, that's very commonly done by a third party in order to keep the design engineer, honest. So I think that we put out for bid just like we would do anything else. But I think SDC, we should pay for it ourselves and just get who we want to do it. The reason I'm bringing it now, we don't have a proposal from Jacobs on the plan yet. That'll come either next month or the month after. But the reason I'm doing it now is if you guys don't want to go this way, I need to know that so we can put it in the bid language and put this out for a proposal. I would recommend that we do go it this way, but that's 100% your call. And I just wanted to have enough time to adjust based on your decision.
So, I agree with you.
I agree with the two. Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I'm not going to say nothing.
So, we put action requested, but it's really direction requested. And I if you guys choose to go this way, then probably next month I will have a proposal from Jacobs for SDC, Engineering Services During Construction, for the phase one of the upgrade project.
Makes sense.
So you just need consensus?
Just consensus direction, that you guys are on board with that.
I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there you go. Okay, item 13, flow meter, Feather River Pump Station, FRPS.
Yep, so this one, once again, I will be bringing a quote for this, a proposal, a cost for this next month, but this is another thing I just kind of wanted to get some direction. I was supposed to say direction request, not actual request.
You got ballpark idea?
Under 20,000 is what we've been told.
And we're going to a different company.
It'll be Emerson Rosemounts. It's the exact same ones we have up here, so all of them will be the same at that point.
It's just amazing a company going down that bad, huh?
It's pretty, and not only ABB has gone down, but their service provider, which is Aqua Sierra, who we've used forever, they're just as bad. And it's like, no, you are who we give our money to. You are who we deal with. We don't deal with ABB. We deal with you, and you're treating us bad. It's your guys' flow meter. You guys haven't had a flow meter in a year and a half. It's not a good situation. So once again, I was asking for direction. If you guys want me to do this now, then I'll bring you a proposal. If you guys want me to wait until the new fiscal year, which I don't think you did because you asked me to pull it out of the budget, then I would just pay for it with that. But I think the direction is to bring a proposal next month, but I'm just coming to make sure.
My opinion is it needs to be done.
Yep, agreed.
It's been way too long. We need to keep an eye on what those flows are coming across that with all the new construction.
Yep, everything. Agreed.
Sooner the better.
So okay. Is that just consensus?
Yeah, that's consensus. I'll bring you guys a quote next month for you guys to approve it, and we'll get it bought.
All right, item 14, Turner's report. Mr. Jones, please.
Yeah, I think we've covered the items that I've been consulting with Manager Sturtevant on that now have come before the board. A couple of things did have some legal issues, but I think we've worked through them. The only other item, that is involved me would be the K&M litigation, which really there's not a significant update to provide other than this. It continues to be tracking. And if there were to a point where we're going to talk about significant changes, we'd go into closed session to do that, which we have not put on the agenda tonight because there's not significant updates. But other than that, I don't have any other reports for tonight. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for the attorney? All right, thank you. Item 15, manager's report.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So talked about pretty much everything other than funding. I wanted to let you guys know. So today we were supposed to go to the Butte County Board of Supervisors to have our subcipient agreement approved on the county level, which at this point I believe is just a formality. But Supervisor Connolly couldn't make it today. He had a family emergency, and since he was a big factor in us getting the money, he wants to be at the meeting when it's approved. So they pushed us to the May 14th meeting, I believe. And I, as soon as I get back from that with the go ahead, I will shoot out an email letting you guys all know that we are good to go and that's happened. So my update on all the three entities, we had a JPA meeting with all of the managers, Brian, Jamie, and Dave Goyer. We talked about our new way that we are going to have to calculate EDUs for multifamily units. I kind of wanted to get all the managers' opinions on the policy before I send it up to the attorney to get him to make sure it's all legal and everything. And obviously that'll be you guys will see that before it's put into any, you guys have to approve it before it becomes a policy. But I wanted to get their take before I spent money with the attorney and then to only send it back to them and get their take and then have to send it back to the attorney. I didn't want to do that. So we had a JPA meeting. We got some good headway made on that policy, and I think we'll be sending it to Ryan here pretty soon. And that's pretty much all I had to report on the three entities. Everyone was involved in that one. As far as Anything else I need to report for the manager's report? I'm getting hernia surgery on the 30th, so next Tuesday. My plan is to only be gone for that week. I have an office job, so I think that's realistic. But I might, you know, have to do some half days here and there.
Taking a whole week.
Yeah. So I won't be available for you guys. I mean, you guys can always call me on my cell phone. I'll pick it up no matter what. But if you come by the plant to see me, I won't be here. You'll have to deal with the plant supervisor Saucy here. But yeah. So, anyways, that's.
Yeah, I think Bill's a significant other passed away. That's why he's out for the week.
That is correct, yes. So. Yeah, so that was, I was kind of bummed out that, you know, we just didn't get that done, because as soon as that's done, we're now waiting for what, the notice, to, to proceed, and then...
From HCD.
And then they have it. So the county's already signed the notice to proceed. It's been sent over to HCD. Once they sign it and we do this thing on the 14th with the county, we will be going out to bid real quick after that, so...
That's great news.
Yep, it is good news. So that's all I got to report.
Anybody have any questions for the manager?
No.
Okay, item 16, visitors' comments. Nobody's present. Item 17, commissioner and staff comments. We're going to start with Ms. Massalotto and work our way to her right.
I have some interesting tidbits about electric, if anybody's interested.
Shoot.
So we have the portals in our floors for the outlets, and some of them don't have covers. Well, one caught on fire because there was dust that went inside the plug. So we've had to vacuum those out. And the easiest fix is that any outlets that you're not using, to put one of those baby safety things in it. The other thing is that we connect our little heaters under our desk to the power strip, and that is a no-no. You don't ever do that. You would never know that, unless you were an electrician, I guess. Just wanted to share that.
Yeah.
It draws too many amps.
Yeah.
Power strips aren't good for that wattage.
Yeah. Unless you got a big industrial power strip.
Yeah. True.
They do make them. I have one at home.
Yeah, heaters draw a lot of amps.
2,800 watts.
You want to know what draws a lot of amps? The Keurig.
Oh, yeah.
Keurig?
Yeah. Dude, 2,000 generator on my first trailer.
Yeah.
You turn the microwave on, it'd ramp up a little bit. You turn the Keurig on, that thing would
like a hair dryer.
Oh, it's crazy. That heating element in there must be a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other thing,
instant coffee.
Yeah. While I have the floor here, is that the developer that was building the homes up in the Oaks area, a gated community, he has pulled 17 permits, and he also has like 65 more. So next month he's going to go to the Board of Realtors meeting, introduce himself, offer commission to the agents to sell them for him. They're on the higher end, but they're only 9 minutes from the hospital.
Is that the second phase of Ridge?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I see they got...
Good to hear.
They got DIs and stuff out there. They dropped a bunch of DIs off and everything out there on that corner on over.
Mm-hmm.
They had a guy out there plowing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why that is, because they're going to come in there and do dirt work.
Now, where's that?
It looks nice.
They always have to.
The ridge.
When I work for Tiger, it always
matters. You know where the Oak subdivision is?
You want
groomed
it up for by the lake. The
yeah.
An issue.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it.
Oh, I see.
It's the gated part.
And then they let it die.
Back there?
Do phase two, yeah.
Like there's sweet called Sweetwater, or one of those streets back there.
Well, the front subdivision, right. And then they have a gated part that goes in the back.
Yeah,
back.
Right. I had some friends live back there. They used to live back there.
Some of them happiest.
There is River Ranches. They're getting excited about moving ahead with it. So, mm-hmm. According to Dave.
That's good. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need more great housing.
I can't wait to see them start putting in,
yeah.
The station.
Yeah.
That's a wet spot. So.
That's a
putting
game
changer. Putting
the shields.
Yep.
Opens up a lot of stuff out there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Good to hear.
Yeah, they just need to, like you said, 9 minutes from the hospital, they just need to sell it. And hire the next however many people they need to hire.
Yeah. True, very true.
Well, a lot of the doctors are transported from Roseville So this would be a perfect opportunity for a gated community and a really nice house.
Yeah, very true.
Awesome.
Anything, sir?
No, sir.
Scotty?
I have nothing.
I'm good.
Two items I'll throw out. Mr. Tatro over here on the bluff. I'm getting confidence now that he's going to start the market rate apartments that are behind gated security, high value apartments, market rate apartments.
I just heard something about that.
Yeah, he's got the go ahead with his investors, so hopefully we'll see that start. I can't remember the numbers.
Where is that at?
Behind the where Hignall's is there, and the new apartments that were built there on the bluff above the fish hatchery.
The backside.
I saw that one.
He's supposed to, he got the good go ahead and whatnot. And the other thing is, I worked with Sabutco on the inundation mapping for this area. I was down there twice now to their office, and I was using the historical data from the 97 flood and the 86 floods to help them put inundation mapping for this, everything south of Oregon Boulevard, which the one need that needs to be done, probably on the city, is to do a drainage study for this whole area. You know, we don't have a drainage study for this area. They just relied on the rock piles to
take it.
And if you're going to have a 200 year cervication, you got to have a study. So, and I don't know where it's all going to lead, but the inundation maps are really close to the ponds here, I think within 2 feet, what happened once before in the past. So it's just good to know that the work is being done. Sabutco's putting packages together to hopefully get some grant funding to do a major drainage study of this whole area. It needs to be done.
And where you were talking about them maybe putting pumps, that's where our line goes right down through there.
Right.
Have to pay attention to that pretty good.
The best guess is down at the conduit and where Dry Creek goes underneath Highway 70 is probably need to have a pump there for surface drainage from the rains, and then also somehow or another protect the water table rise, because whenever we have a high water event in the river, say 60,000, 80,000 CFS,
water table,
eventually it comes down and feeds the water table, and then that becomes the other flooding part. So it's not a simple matter to put together.
And at that point, Dry Creek backs up to here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. And so, how the engineer's going to figure that one out, I don't know, whether a clapper valve and the conduit and some kind of pump, I don't know, whatever. But the worst thing is we rely upon Highway 70 embankment as a levee, and it was never built to be a levee. It's not a levee.
So when you pump up the river that much, see the rock piles just become a big settling pond.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
I remember in the old days, 10-foot lines of my decoys out in the rock pile.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because that levee was just a big leacher.
Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah. So I lost a boat off the levee.
I just want to mention it because Sabutco's doing a really good job with that, and hopefully there's something coming to look at putting some good planning for this whole area, because a 200-foot plane is, or 200-foot floodplain is a big deal. In Sacramento, they're having a huge problem with that issue, trying to satisfy the 200-foot, or 200-year, excuse me, not 200-foot, 200-year floodplain plan. So that's all I got.
Back up a second. I never get to talk to any of you city guys much except here. How about the road work around here?
It's coming. It's coming.
Am I going to have to give like different shots on my truck?
They started on Jersey Pacific.
Yep.
It's almost all done on Jersey Pacific.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice road now.
Yeah. And then Nelson will get done as soon as the water company gets their work done.
We're supposed to be done. Our part's supposed to be done first. So.
Yeah, we didn't want to tear up your work first, so that's fine.
Hey, you need to drop by the shop and look at the valve they pulled up.
Is that right?
About 70-some-odd years old. It's never been turned.
Oh, shit. Yeah, man.
We're going to clean it up in the yard.
Try to get it moving?
Yeah. Oh, I hear about the Nelson Avenue almost every day because a lot of people I know drive through that mess.
Yeah, you heard the flanges or whatever came in wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they did. They didn't check them out when they got them. And when they went to put them in, it didn't work.
Uh-oh.
Actually, they rushed them. They got them to what, 8 days?
Yeah.
Out of Texas.
Well,
new ones.
That's good.
Them bad boys, they checked them.
It's a funky coupler, too, to go from the two different types of pipe. So that is pretty quick turnaround on that.
But to answer your question about roads, the road crew is getting up to speed with a lot of projects.
Mm-hmm.
We're also adding a new piece of equipment. We're renting it right now. It puts down a mastic sealer instead of asphalt. And we're finding good success with this new process. So it fits. There's a different scenario for each road patch. And this new one gives us a lot more flexibility.
You ever been going down the highway and seen just the one big line? It's got the grinder and the hot plant and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're just grinding it up, putting it back through the hot plant, adding some stuff to it, and laying it down.
Yep.
I remember the first time I saw that was on 162. I was going to Butte City. I thought that was the slickest
thing. It is. I mean, you're just recycling all that old blacktop.
Yeah, they're just laying it out.
Adding oil is all you had.
If you go on Fifth Avenue, they've already done the first patch in the trial. And so they're suggesting about buying the machine right away. And I think we backed off and said, let's rent it for a couple years first, because if we buy the machine today, next year's model will be better than the one we bought today.
Except next year's model is going to cost you a couple hundred thousand.
But it'll be better. So that's kind of the thinking. But it's
what part's been done? Where's the patch been done?
Georgia Pacific.
Well, Georgia Pacific, but Fifth Avenue has the new mastic patching right there by Pomona, and it looks very different. When I saw, I go, what's going on here? It's like something, and it. It's a mastic that fills in the void and doesn't, as long as the base is good, it'll go over it and be good for 5-10 years.
Now, does the county still stripe you guys, or do you guys stripe?
We have our own striper now.
Good.
Yeah. They were not helping us out before, so we have our own striper.
Yeah, I see that, where they weren't helping out.
Yeah, the county roads up the right, they're all falling apart because they're going underground with electric.
Yeah,
a water boulevard and.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's coming. I can't answer exactly where yet, but I know. I was told.
I can give you some ideas on some patches.
Nelson Avenue will be done June 1st. That's what I heard.
Like almost every stop sign you come to.
Well, Georgia Pacific was really bad.
Yeah.
I would hit the same pothole every single morning, and I think, why don't I know where that is by now?
Yeah. It's happened.
I guess I never drive in Georgia.
Yeah, I go the back way to go home.
Yeah.
So I had a question on the drainage. Feather River Boulevard, there's a real drainage problem. Is that going to be addressed too?
If the drainage study finally gets contracted out, then that would be part of it, because there's really no master plan for Feather River Boulevard, both north and south of Ore Dam.
Oh, okay.
And that's the other thing. Then there needs to be a relook at the pump station in downtown over next to the levee. If you didn't know, all the gravity check valves go into the river. When the river rises, those check valves close, and then the rainwater goes into the pump station there next to the levee, and then it's pumped up higher level into the river. That has to be looked at too, because the river elevations have changed with the sediment that's come down the river. So. There's a lot of things that need to be looked at.
Somebody's going to take care of Feather River. It's going to be a levee somewhere.
Yeah. There are solutions that need to happen. And we raised it at the Orville Dam Oversight Committee, Safety Oversight Committee. And we talked to DWR that, you've really done nothing to our levee. The city has a levee about a mile long that was built in 1913. That was just a 4-inch slab on a slope. That's where it's been ever since. So the discussion was maybe they can help out with some kind of grant funding for a levee repair. And then I added that, oh, by the way, inside that levee is a very critical fiber optic line that is feeds the West Coast. It happens to be in that levee. And they go, oh, okay. So it immediately generated phone calls to Sabutco like, oh shit, we got to take care of this thing.
It's like, your town's not that big of a deal, but that fiber optic line, we better take care of that.
They ended up in Red Bluff, and that knocked out all the 911 in Northern California, as an example. So we won't leave that line.
Yeah. Years ago, that used to be $1 million if you touched one.
Yeah. Well, I would probably could be today. So.
You scratched one, it's $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You had to have that kind of, for operating, hunting around, and going over the road, you had to have that insurance. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Good.
You boys have it? All right, 5:49, we're going to turn the meeting.
Thank you all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Ryan. Thank you.
Good night, Ryan. Thanks.